Thank you for the minister. Thank you for preparing him and using him as you did. Thank you because indeed we believe that the seeds that are planted are everlasting, pure seeds of God's word that will germinate in us and grow and bring forth mighty fruits in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because once again tonight you speak to us and you bless us. You drop those seeds, the incorruptible seeds of God's word, in our hearts, and again they will germinate in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your mighty presence even with us because we are gathered in your name. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to finish what I started off on with faith nuggets. So I'm going to finish that tonight. And it goes hand in hand with what we were doing last week with halftime renewal, where we're looking at the word foundation. Faith nugget goes hand in hand with it. One of the things you see, and why we must understand this, is that the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Another one, I believe that's in Habakkuk, says the just shall live by his faith. Okay, meaning what? The just shall die without it. So faith is essential for living. Faith is essential for living. It also means that really the modus operandi, or the way that God has wired the righteous to function, is to live by faith. And that means that if you live any other way except by faith, it's not likely to be a very smooth functioning for you, because you were not designed to be that way. So if you find anybody or if you have an instrument, I mean, let's take, for instance, the bass guitar. The bass guitar is not supposed to be like the keyboard. So if you try to run it and play it like the keyboard in music, it's going to be a bit more stressful because you are using it in a way that is not meant to be used. If you try to drum as a lead instrument, also as it were, it tends to be stressful because it's not designed to be that way. So when he says that the just shall live by faith, it means that there's a design for the just. There's a way the just ought to operate, and that is that the just operates by faith. You'll find it very stressful when you try to do things by your own strength, by your own might, by your own wisdom, by your own understanding, by your own rationality. And as a matter of fact, that's why many believers are stressed out. That's why many believers are under a lot of burden, under a lot of yoke, anxious, depressed. It's because we are not living by faith. And what does that mean? Living by faith means that you look to God for everything that you need, everything that you want, everything that shall be in your life, and for everything that comes against you, you look to God and his word to overcome them. Can I have an amen? And when you don't live that way, you are going to be stressed out. You are going to be anxious. You are going to be burdened. I say to people that it's not the troubles of life that come to us that make us different. Because if you ever thought that is what comes to you, that is different from what comes to me, and that's why maybe you can be relaxed and I can be stressed, you are very wrong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are very wrong. The difference is how I react and how you react to the things that you face. But the things that we all will face will be similar things. That's why the Bible says that there's no temptation that has taken you that is not common to man. Hallelujah. It means that the things, the trials that have taken you, the trials that have come against you, are common trials. The trial that comes to Jide is the trial that comes to Busola, is the trial that goes to, it's the same thing. It's the same kind of situation that everybody goes through, but how they react is what is going to make the difference. People say, no, it can't be the same thing. The richest man in Nigeria doesn't have a problem of money like I do. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? Did you realize that very recently the man was almost collapsing? You didn't realize what was going on. The man that doesn't give interviews was giving interviews every week. You know what I'm saying? About that time, he was talking to the press every week and telling them this. And then after the stress has reduced now, he told us, he said, that was the biggest venture of my life. If it did not work, I was finished. We're talking about a $20 billion problem. Yeah, I know yours might be 20,000 naira problem, but the $20 billion problem, is that what you prefer? Do you want to have a $20 billion problem? So what I'm saying to you is that what has come against you is common. Amen. It's common. So with the size of it, the numbers might be different, but it's the same issue. You have a need, he has a need. You have a need, she has a need. It's the same problems. But what do? The just shall live by his faith. Can I have an amen? And that's why we're looking at faith nuggets. And the last time I began, and I think I used the text primarily, it's referred to Hebrews chapter 11, and I think that's where I will start from. Hebrews chapter 11. The actual text in my notes is Psalm 78, but maybe I should read Psalm 78 first, and then we'll read Hebrews chapter 11. Psalm 78, and then we'll read Hebrews 11. So the reason why we are here, and the reason why we come together like this on a Thursday, in fact, let me put it this way, on a rainy, super rainy Thursday, the reason why you will go through all of the stress to come to church on a super rainy Thursday is that you must build your faith muscles. Amen. You may not have a problem today, but there's going to be a challenge tomorrow. And when the challenge comes, you want to be ready. You want to have done everything you need to do in order to be ready. Hallelujah. You want to know all of God that you can know, that will ensure that you overcome. And when you know them, as you hear those things, as you take on knowledge, what happens is that your faith grows. Amen. Psalm 78, look at verse 40. He said, how often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power the day that he redeemed them from the enemy. So he was talking about the children of Israel, and he talked about the fact that again and again they repeated the same issues. Again and again they provoked him in the wilderness. They will complain about this and complain about that. They will complain there's no food. Then they will complain there's no water. Then they will complain about the Egyptians that are coming. Then they will complain and complain and complain and complain. And that sounds a lot like the believers that we have today. We go from one complaint to another. He said they did not remember anything he had done. Let me put it this way to you. It's great to have supernatural encounters and testimonies from God. And I always say to people, never forget what he has done. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Never forget them. However, it is possible to have seen God deliver you again and again, and yet still come back to God and be complaining when another situation arises. Are you hear what I'm saying? It's possible that God has healed me of this, God has healed me of that, and yet now something comes and afflicts my body, and I'm becoming fearful, and I'm saying, God, where are you? But the antidote that ensures that you are a steady personality, who doesn't go that way, is not the testimonies, it's actually God's word. Amen. So what keeps you strong and steady is not the testimony of yesterday and all that. It's great to remember those things. They help you. They inspire you. However, what keeps you steady and strong is actually what we call faith. Amen. And that takes us to Hebrews chapter 11, which is a very important chapter, we say. If you are study or you are a student of faith, you are studying faith, then we always refer to Hebrews chapter 11. And I always talk about the first three verses, because after that it goes on to begin to give us a lot of examples about what faith does. Okay, so we call it the all of faith. A lot of preachers will tell you that's the all of faith, not of fame, but of faith. That if you read it, you see all the people who operated by faith. But actually, if you read it, you will see all of the different kinds of applications of faith. And you will see that indeed, when the Bible says the just shall live by faith, meaning that the just will operate. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 also says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Meaning that our lifestyle is a lifestyle of faith. Meaning that we're going to believe God for parking spaces. We're going to believe God to ensure that we find the bread we are looking for. We're going to believe God that we will find the lipstick we wanted to buy in the shop when we get there. We're going to believe God that the salt will be available when we get home. We're going to believe God for small things, and we're going to believe God for big things. Amen. So when he says the just shall live by faith, that's what he's talking about. When he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 that we walk by faith and not by sight, that's what he's talking about. He's saying that our manner of life will be a manner of life of faith, where we see everything through the lens of God's word. And we don't look at any situation just from the natural perspective alone. Amen. So, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, I always say, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So I always say, verse 1 tells you what faith is. Verse 2 tells you what faith does. Verse 3 tells you how faith works. So verse 1 tells you what faith is. It said faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we are hoping and hoping and hoping, but it doesn't become real except faith is applied to it. Otherwise, it stays in the realm of hope, meaning that it might happen, it might not happen, but it becomes substantial and real when faith is applied to it. It becomes a concrete thing. It will happen. One says, faith is being confident that the things we hope for will happen. Hallelujah. Verse 2 is what? What faith does. And what does it do? Faith helps us to obtain a good report. Meaning whether life wants to give it to you or not, whether life is for you or against you, faith ensures that you can have a good report. Another translation calls it a good testimony. By faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. Meaning that they created their testimony by faith. Hallelujah. And that's why you could hear people like Kennedy again say that he was given up to die as a teenager, and he was bedridden with several diseases where the doctor told him, if disease one doesn't kill you, disease two will kill you. If disease two doesn't kill you, disease three will kill you. If disease three doesn't kill you, disease four will kill you. So there is no escaping death. And they told him, by the time you are 16, everybody we have ever seen who had the condition that you had, by the time they are 16, they are bedridden and they die. And true to word, by 16, he became bedridden. But faith changed that testimony. He died at over 80 years of age. After faith got him off the sick bed. Amen. Hallelujah. Lester Sumrall was dying of tuberculosis. He hated God. He hated church. He hated all of those things. And he was dying of tuberculosis. And the doctor actually came. Looked at him that night, coughing up blood and all of that. And the doctor looked and said, this boy will die tonight. He said, but I will not have time to come back to certify him dead when he dies. So the doctor wrote the death certificate, signed it ready for his death, that he will die, he will die. There's no escaping, he's going to die tonight. But when he dies, I will not be here and I will not be able to come. So he wrote the death certificate ready and signed. But in the middle of the night, he had a vision. The mother was praying and believing God over him. Faith got him off. And in the middle of the night, he had a vision. And God showed him a cross. He showed him a Bible on one hand. And he showed him a coffin on the other hand. And he said, choose one. And he chose the Bible and he was healed. By morning, he was healed. The doctor couldn't believe it. He had the death certificate written. By faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. That's what faith does. Faith ensures that you can obtain your testimony. And verse 3 talks about how faith works. And it tells us that we know that we understand that by faith the words were framed by the word of God. And that tells us the primary operation of faith is by the spoken word, is by what you say of God's word. So Mark 11:23, he said, if you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, that is whosoever will say so, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, whosoever shall say to this mountain, meaning that this will work for anybody and everybody. Hallelujah. And so we began to look at certain essentials of faith, and that's why we called it faith nuggets. What are the quick things, essentials of faith that we must know? And we said the last time that number one, you must know that faith cannot tell time. Can I hear you say faith can't tell time? Say it again. Say faith can't tell time. And we said, why can't faith tell time? Because Mark 11:24 tells us very clearly. He said, therefore, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. Believe you receive it and you shall have it. Is that an oxymoron? Is that correct English? Is that an oxymoron? No. What he's saying is that in that place of prayer, and you prayed the prayer of faith, and you believed you receive it already right then you shall have it, it shall manifest. And if I believe I already have it, then time doesn't worry me because it's already mine. You understand that? If I already believe that it's mine, I believe I received it already when I prayed, then time elapsing is not an issue because it's already mine. So when they asked late Pastor Yonggi Cho, and he got a hold of faith as a young pastor, and he was believing God for a bicycle. He was believing God for a bed. He was believing God for a table and a chair in his room. And then he believed, because faith believes that he receives it already. And God asked him, what kind of bicycle? He said, which kind of bicycle? What kind of chair and table? Mahogany, wood. He believed he received it. And then he went to church and he told them, I thank God. I thank God because I believe that I already have. I have my chair. I have my table. I have my bicycle. And when they finished the service, these young people followed and went outside, and they looked outside, and lo and behold, there was no bicycle. Pastor, I thought you said you had the bicycle. He said, yes, I have the bicycle. He said, where is the bicycle? They said, okay, let's go home with you. And they got to the house, and the room was bare. And they said, where is the bed? Where is the table? Where is the chair? He said, I have it. They said, yeah, we know you said you have it, but where are they? He said, when a woman has a baby in her tummy, you can't see it for 9 months, but she has it. He said, I have my chair. I have my table. I have my bicycle. I have them inside of me. I have them already. And in due time, he had them. Hallelujah. Number two, he said, faith works by love. These are things we've already gone through before. Faith works by love. And we're pointing out that Jesus was saying, Mark 11:24, that we said before, and he talks about praying the prayer of faith, when he said that if whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it, and you shall have it. Okay? And then verse 25, he said, but when you stand praying, basically he said to them, hey, I just taught you the prayer of faith. However, whenever, at any point in time, you stand to pray, and you remember that you have hot or you have anything against anyone, that those translations I do not like, or anyone has hot against you. Let's go to Mark 11:23. Not this one. Okay. It says, if you have anything against anyone, let me open up something for you. Mark 11:23. Let me double check this one for you now. Are you with me? Are you still here, anybody? Good. It says, if you have aught against any. I like the word aught. That's what I'm looking at. Aught is not H-U. Aught is O-U-G-H-T. Aught means have a tiny thing. Aught means something very small. It's not big, it's small. But you remember when you stand praying and you remember that there's this small thing between you and this person, he said you ought to immediately deal with that matter. Why? Because that is a blockage to your prayer. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You don't like that one. Because that your prayer will not work with unforgiveness. 1 John chapter 3 verse 22. He said, whatsoever we ask in prayer, we know that we receive because we keep his commandment. And then he went to the next verse and he said, and this is his commandment, that we love. Hallelujah. That we love. Meaning that this is the one thing that stands between you and your prayer of faith. Can I have an amen? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6 tells us very clearly, he said, faith works by love. Faith works by love. So the engine that drives faith is love. Meaning if you take love out of faith, then faith will not work as it should, because faith works by love. Number three, we pointed out that faith needs patience. Faith needs patience. It's similar to the faith nugget number one, where I said that faith can't tell time. But here we're talking about the consistency. The adamance is the correct grammar. But idea is need. You know what I'm saying? That persistence, that refusal to be moved by anything, irrespective of time passing. So just like it said again in Mark 11:24, you believe, you receive, and you shall have. So there's something about receiving it and the having it in the physical, meaning that there's a time factor in between. Almost like when he said also in Habakkuk chapter 2, but now write the vision down, make it plain. And all of us said, I will listen to hear what he will say to me. And then he says to me, write the vision down. He said, it will not tarry. Though it tarry, it will not tarry. So write the vision down. God is saying something, but it will not tarry. The issue is that there is a time factor in between. In fact, also somebody was saying jokingly when God said in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, he said, now as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not cease. He said what it was is seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. The problem is the time. If every time I prayed for something, it happened the next second, people won't have a problem with believing God. Isn't it? They won't have any problem with it. Somebody said, well, the only thing, the problem also is that people put, you know, when they say, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, Mark 11:23, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that whatsoever he saith, he shall have what he said. McCankin says the problem with people's minds is that in their mind they said, he shall have whatsoever he said in church. So they say it in church. But if it has not happened by the end of service, by the end of that day, they've forgotten what they said. They've forgotten what they believed God for. They've forgotten what they are standing on. By Monday, they have completely, really completely forgotten, and they are now talking against it. Why? Because it didn't happen the exact moment they said it. If every time we said it or we prayed, it happened the very next minute, nobody will have a problem with faith. Am I right? Everybody will believe God. But the problem is that it looks like sometimes it doesn't happen immediately. I'm saying that because I was talking, I remember many years ago, I walked into a house in the evening and the lady was talking. And she was talking about her financial needs. Yeah, I said, man, you know, brother, it's good to see you. You know, I have these needs and all of that and all of that. And I came to see somebody else in the BQ. So I said, okay, man, you know, let's pray about this thing. And we prayed. And I went to the back to see this pastor I went to see there in the BQ. And in barely maybe 5 minutes or so, the lady was screaming, praise God, praise God, praise God. So I was like, what is the problem? He said, you know, this my sister just called and promised me the money. This one just called. So if prayer works like that, I just be done. Nobody will have a problem. If you say believe God, they say sure, sure, sure. If not, why not? Abby? But faith requires patience. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. It tells us don't be sloppy. He said, but be like those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That word patience means consistency. You're able to stand there. You're able to stand believing God irrespective of how long it takes. And as a matter of fact, I like Egan's statement that says that if you are willing to stand forever, it won't take very long. If you are willing to stand forever believing God for something, it will not take very long. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 8:25, I like it very much. Because it says, if you hope for that which you cannot see, then do we with patience wait for it. If it's something you can't see, then you need patience. You need to be able to just stand there and believe. The beautiful thing, or the things that, and that's where scriptures are important, is that we need to know that in that time of waiting and of patience, things are happening in the background. Don't speak the opposite because you are going to disrupt what is already happening. Continue saying the same things as you have been saying before. If you have to speak to God about it, thank Him for answered prayers, because the things that you are saying and the thanksgiving you are giving is working. Daniel said, I prayed. He said, but it took weeks for the angel to come. But when the angel arrived, he said, Daniel, from the first day you prayed, I was sent. From the first day you prayed, the Lord heard you and I was sent. He said, but on the way I was waylaid. And I needed reinforcement of angels from heaven to come and fight the battle through. In that time, Daniel was fasting and praying and believing God, and it took weeks, but the angel came and said, I'd actually been sent from day one. Hallelujah. When you think nothing is happening, something is still happening. Hallelujah. So faith needs patience. Number four, we said faith comes from God's word. Faith comes from God's word. So don't expect to get faith anywhere else, primarily, except from God's word. Primarily. They said to Jesus, I believe that's Luke chapter 17. They said, give us more faith. The disciples said to him, Master, increase. Luke 17, 4, am I right? They said, Master, increase our faith. And there are many believers who are doing that. They are holding prayer meetings. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. Yeah, pray. Lord, increase my faith. 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 The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we know where it comes from. You need another translation says faith comes by hearing the message. And that message is from the word of God. Even if in your prayer you are stirred to faith, God will have to use the word that's already in your heart and bring something out of that word, bring out the message in that word, and then your faith is stirred. Maybe while you were praying, God begins to bring out the message in Romans chapter 8:11. You are believing God for your healing and saying, Lord, increase my faith so that I can get my healing. But if you had stored up God's word in there, God suddenly begins to stir Romans 8:11 to you, that if the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal body. And all of a sudden, something, some light comes out of that, and that will stir, and your faith comes alive. What really worked? The word. Faith came from the word. Hallelujah. What am I saying? I see too many people wishing for faith. sometimes even praying for faith, but never doing the primary thing they ought to do to get faith. Amen. In all honesty, if I ever get upset at people not being in church in a midweek service, that's why I get upset about it. Because I think to myself that the same people are going to have needs tomorrow. And then they will be looking for you or looking for people, calling people, asking somebody to join them in a prayer chain and all of that. And I'm thinking to myself, first and foremost, you needed faith. And you should do everything you can to make sure that your faith is always at top levels, including me. I do everything I can to ensure that my faith is always at the top levels. You know, sometimes in the UK, we're not used to going to church midweek. In fact, the church we attend, they stopped doing midweek service. I think because of attendance. And they said they would do. But that day, I just told myself, I said, am I sitting at home? I joined the service here virtually, as some people would like to say. I went to church. I said, they said, yeah, I joined online. I said, you didn't go to church. You didn't go to church. As you were joining online, along the line, you went to brush your teeth. Sometimes along the line, you went to cook yam. You know, and all that. You didn't go to church. You know, so I thought to myself, that's not enough. I need to go to church. So one day I just jumped and I drove and went to church. And there was no church. So I came back. I said, there's no church. So my son was laughing. He said, yes. Actually, when you had left, I remembered that it's only last Wednesday. I said, really? He said, yeah. They said, I said, hey, that means I wasn't paying attention in church. You know, but I remember they will show, you know, the ones that we show announcement. And they will show the announcement when you are giving offering, you know. So I'm busy trying to give offering. So I said, you mean I wasn't, I first was annoyed with myself that, hey, you mean I wasn't listening? You know, then I realized what would have happened. But then I thought, no. Why should you, you know, ever make it reduce the, how do you call it, the nutrition? As it were, thankfully they've reversed it, as if they heard me. You know, they reversed it and they started having, you know, every week. Because I thought to myself, no, it doesn't matter. Keep dishing out the food because people need faith. Can I have an amen? Number five, I said faith will walk in your heart with doubt in your head. Man is made of three parts. Man is a spirit, which often also the Bible calls the heart. The core of man. Man has a soul. The spirit has a soul. And it lives in a body. Somebody said that heart or that spirit of man is the part of man that connects him to the spiritual. The soul of man is the part that connects him to the intellectual. And the body of man is the part that connects him to the physical. The heart of man connects him to the spiritual. The soul connects him to the intellectual. The body connects him to the physical. Are you with me? Faith works from the heart, the spirit of man, and not the intellectual, not the mind of man. And that's why faith will work in your heart with doubt in your head. So rationally, you can be thinking, hey, how can this thing ever happen? But there's a conviction deep down that this thing is going to happen as God has said in his word. Your heart is holding on to his word. Your mind is going crazy. Are you hearing me? He said, you say to that mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. In his heart. As long as in his heart, he keeps holding on to God's word. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. He said, with the heart man believes. With the heart man believes. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But with the heart man believes. There's just something about the heart. Have you found that for instance, the simplest way is to look at the beginning of our journey with God. To understand that. Which is that you had the gospel preached. What is that gospel? Man was born into sin. man is a sinner. For all have fallen in sin and have fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus came and died. He was born of a virgin and he died for us so that he had no sin. But he that knew no sin became sin for us so that we through him might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what you heard. And you believed in your heart. Because it doesn't make sense, Abby. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you look at it from your head, it's very confusing. A virgin gave birth. And that man that he gave birth to died for my sake. So that me, I just believe him. And then my sins are forgiven. And then now God has forgiven me. And in fact, not only has he forgiven me, I become righteousness, the righteousness of God. That is that I become like I have never sinned before. Rationally, it doesn't make sense. But you heard that doesn't make sense story, and you believed in your heart, and you said the sinner's prayer, and said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Why? Because with the heart, man believes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you still there? Sometime when I was a missionary to somewhere in Ibadan, and we started a fellowship there, well, as we arrived every Sunday evening, a man would stand. It was a Muslim Islamic area. And a man would stand there in front, and he would begin to shout, God does not have a child. God never gave birth to a child. And nobody gave birth to him. Alone will be mine, because he be... God never gave birth to a child and nobody gave birth to him. The coincidence struck me after a few times. It's whenever I'm arriving and I'm trying to park here that this guy is always announcing that God didn't. And what was he announcing? That don't believe this guy. Don't believe what he says. But people believe. See, people still continue to believe. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why? Because with the heart you believe unto righteousness. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So you can stand there and believe God's word. That God's word says this and so shall it be. And yet your mind is playing tricks. Your mind is going crazy. Your mind is telling you, it can't happen. But your heart is saying, God's word said. Faith will walk. Hallelujah. Faith will walk in your heart. With doubt in your head. Can I have an amen? Number 6. Faith without corresponding action is dead. Go to James chapter 2. So that we haven't touched at all. I have 3 more points. In a few minutes. Faith without corresponding action is dead. James the 2nd chapter. Verse 17. He says, thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. The word translated works there means corresponding action. What does that mean? It means action that corresponds or relates to what you said you believe. You understand what I'm saying? It means that faith without the same actions. So very simply, for instance, when we say it, sometimes jokingly, that you are singing and you are saying, I got joy, 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 joy. But you stand there and say, I got joy, 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 my soul, we say, no, 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 you don't got nothing. Why? Because there's no corresponding action. You are not moving. You are not jumping. You are not smiling. You are not laughing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we can't believe that. Hallelujah. We're not used to. I have a colleague. And when she first began to work with me, she'll come in and sit down. And I have to go. I go around the office. I greet. And then I get to her and I say, good morning. Good morning. I say, I don't believe you. Good morning means I wish you a good morning. I said, so there's no way you can wish me a good morning and your face is this straight and morose. I said, so I don't believe you. You have to smile. I said, I don't feel like smiling. I said, then I don't believe you. Keep your good morning to yourself. Because if you are going to wish me a good morning, it should be with a smile. Good morning. Then I believe you. That you are wishing me a good morning. Otherwise, you are lying. But I don't feel like smiling. I can greet you, but I don't feel. I said, it doesn't go together. It's not corresponding action. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So, James chapter 2, verse 17. He said, does also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Verse 18. But someone will say, you have works, or you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. One says, I will show you what I believe by what I do. So one says, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. So separating them. He said, no. I will show you what I believe by what I do. So what I do tells you what I believe. So we have seen disastrous situations. Recently, Reverend Dr. Maokbai was celebrating his 80th birthday. And Pastor Ye Adeboye was the preacher at the event. And he was celebrating the man. And he said, look, what this man has done for the body of Christ is in a class of his own. He said, and in all honesty, that he inspired him very recently in a unique way. He said, and that was that he went through the toughest time of his life when his son died. You remember when that happened? You know, that's Pastor Adeboye. He said he went through the toughest time of his life when his son died. He said, but one of the things that gave me strength was I remembered Reverend Dr. Maokbai. He said he lost four in one day. Four in one day. Coming from a crusade. And the car went into the river. He lost four children. He said that, and as they mourned the day they buried them, he got dressed. And people say, where are you going? He said, I have a preaching engagement. I'm off. show me what you believe by what you do. Does it mean he doesn't like them? No. He realized what David said when his son died. He said, he can't come to me. I will go to him. Meaning, I believe he's in heaven, he's in a place where I will go to, and I will still see him. So let's forget about now. Let's carry on. What did he believe? What did Reverend Maokbai believe? That if to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So he thought, okay, yeah. So we'll meet one day in the future, in the sweet by and by. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So do you really believe? What do you really believe? That's what you should ask yourself. Every time you go through something, every time you are in a situation, you need to be checking yourself. What do I really believe? Because your actions and the very first corresponding action of faith is how you speak. Amen? The very first corresponding action of faith is how you speak. Remember what I said, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, how faith works. By faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. So it's what I say is a reflection. Mark 11, 23, whosoever shall say, they were asking Jesus, how did you get this fig tree to dry up? He said, have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. And then he began to teach them. That's Mark 11, 22. And then he said to them in verse 23, whosoever shall say, this is how faith is expressed. You say. Amen. And if you don't say right, then you don't believe accordingly. Because if you believe it, you will say so. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. He said, we having the same spirit of faith, as it is written, that they believed and therefore they spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. So the spirit of faith is characterized. The attitude of faith is characterized or defined. He said, and since we have the same spirit of faith as the people that we have seen gone ahead of us, he said, what characterized them is that they believe and they spoke. We also believe. Can I hear you say, I also believe. And therefore, I speak. Say it again like you mean it. Say, I also believe God's word. And therefore, I speak in line with God's word. Say it again. Say, I also, having the same spirit of faith, believe God's word. And therefore, I speak in line with God's word. Amen. Is that clear? Number seven, faith nugget. Faith is seen in joy and peace. Faith is seen in joy and peace. When you are in faith, joy and peace will be your status quo, as it were. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. You can be worried all you want. You can be afraid all you want. You can be anxious all you want. But the moment you are able to get faith and faith comes alive in your heart, joy and peace will take over. Are you with me? It doesn't have to make sense. Meaning that the things around you might not have changed. What was worrying you might not have changed in the physical, but all of a sudden there is peace that makes no sense. That's why Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Why did he say with thanksgiving? Because by the time I prayed with prayer and supplication, I ought to get to a place of assurance where I know I have cast my care upon God once and for all. And at that point in time of faith, I just begin to thank him for answered prayers. He said, And then, verse 7, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will then guard your heart and mind. So when I step into faith, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard my heart and my mind. So Romans chapter 15, 13, I said you should open that earlier. It said, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I get filled with joy and peace in believing. So when I am believing, I get filled. Can I hear you say I get filled? I will get filled with joy and peace. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. If you remember in 1 Samuel chapter 1, Anna, Samuel's mother, was worried. She had no child. She had no child and she was really worried. And then she went to the temple. And she was in anguish. And she was praying. The Bible says her mouth was moving, but her voice was not loud. And as she went to the church and she was praying and she was praying and she was praying and she was praying, the pastor stood at the back and he could see that this woman is praying, or is she praying? Because he couldn't hear anything. And then he said to her, woman, how can you be here drunk at this time? And the woman said, no, I'm not drunk. She said, I have come here and I poured out my heart, poured my sorrow out unto God. And he said, then may God grant you that which you have requested of him. The Bible says that then she stopped and her countenance was no longer sad. That's what I want you to realize. He said her countenance was no longer sad. Her face was no longer sad. 1 Samuel 1:18. Her face was no longer sad. Why? Because God fills with joy and peace in believing. So the moment she believed what the man said and said, hey, God grants you your request, sadness left her face. Did she have a baby yet? No. Even if she was pregnant in that instance, it's going to take 9 months at that time self, there's no diagnostic tool that will tell you you are pregnant in 6 weeks. Nothing. But yet our countenance was no longer sad. She walked away from that moment, relaxed. Went back to the same house where she was being mocked for not having a child, but nothing moved her. Because she knew she got it at the altar that day. She knew that that baby was already hers. Hallelujah. She knew she already had it. Amen. Last point. Faith is not an obstacle. It's not an obstacle to receiving from God. And I say that because many people think that, this faith is safe. When will I ever get it right? That me too, I will be able to receive things, believe God, and get this and get that. When will I ever get it right? You know, they always talk about faith. But me, my own faith is very small. I always struggle with faith. I don't even know when my faith will be big, like Pastor NY's faith, you know. It's always just believing. Me, I struggle with faith. Believing God is very difficult. Faith is very difficult. You know, and people think that faith is something that God put in the way to ensure that, go and get it right first. You know, until you get it right. And you must be perfect. I must see that you have worked hard at it before you get it. Am I saying you shouldn't build your faith? No, absolutely not. But what I'm saying to you is that faith is designed for us to be able to get what God has for us. Not designed for it to be the difficult thing that I must find a way to get before I can get anything from God. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. That God didn't create something so that this thing will be very difficult for us and we'll be struggling to try to get it so that we can get the promises from God. Go to Romans chapter 4. Maybe you understand what I'm saying here. Romans chapter 4. So last faith nugget. Romans chapter 4. You know, it's almost like when you're in school. And at some point in life, I thought exams were designed so that students can fail. You know, and in actual fact, I think in some places, and particularly at tertiary level, in some universities, I've met lecturers who taught that exams are supposed to fail the students. That's the purpose. That's not the purpose. The purpose is just, it's supposed to prove, hear me right, it's supposed to prove that the student truly knows what you expect him to know. You understand the difference? So it's not, an exam is not set so that the student can fail. The exam is set, I expect the student to pass. But I need to be able to prove objectively that truly he knows it. And that's why he passed and we gave him a degree. Or we promoted him to the next class. I need to be able to find something that I can use to justify the fact that I moved him forward. Do you understand my point? And that's why the exam is there. And that's why in a fair system, you can set an exam and the people will tell you that exam is not fair. It's not good for that level. And in a fair system, when you set an exam and a certain percentage of students fail, they will tell you the students didn't fail, the teacher failed. They say, because how can this number of students fail the exam? It means you failed. Either you failed in teaching them right or you failed in setting the right questions that will prove that they were taught what they should know and they got it. So faith is not that way that God put it there so that we can fail. God put it there so we can pass. Can I have an amen? Romans chapter 4 verse 16. He said, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Meaning what? God ensured that the key to getting his promises is belief. Otherwise, if it was just by the law, then not everybody would get it. That's what he's saying. But he wanted everybody, as long as you can believe him and believe on what Jesus had done, then you can have what God has done. So God wanted to be sure that the promise will be sure, certain, to everybody. That's why he put in the factor of faith, so that all of us can access the promises of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. That's why Hebrews chapter 11 verse 2, like I said, he said, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. So Hebrews chapter 11 tells us what faith does, and what faith does is that it helps us to obtain a good testimony. It helps us to access everything that God has for us without fail. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Stand on your feet. Let me run through the 8 nuggets very quickly. Faith nugget number 1, faith can't tell time. Faith nugget number 2, faith works by love. Nugget number 3, faith needs patience. Number 4, faith comes from God's word. Number 5, faith will walk in your heart with doubt in your head. Number 6, faith without corresponding action is dead. And number 7, faith is seen in joy and peace. Take a second and just talk to God about what you've heard tonight. The way God speaks to us through his word is that one or two things will jump at you. One or two things will burn in your heart. And that's what God is trying to get across to you. As they walked, the two disciples walked when Jesus had just risen. He walked with them and he was talking with them. And then they made to go. He made as if he was going another way when they made to turn. And then they said, come with us. And he went with them. And then they began to break. They sat down to eat. And he took the bread and he broke it. And the wine and he broke it. And he gave it to them. And their eyes were open. And then he disappeared. And then they said, didn't our heart burn within us when he spoke to us? How you know God is talking to you is that your heart burns within you on a matter, on a scripture, on a verse. Something burns within you. You know God is putting his finger on that one and telling you, pay attention. Pay serious attention to this one. Right now, pay serious attention to this one. What is he saying to you tonight?